Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message inspires and empowers you to move forward.
See, the presence of God is here. The reason we know that the presence of God is here is not whether we feel him or not. See, because as men, we don't always feel God. But the reason that we know God is here is because the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, there he is. So tonight, I want you to lift your hands by faith. Doesn't matter whether you feel it. Lord, we thank you that you're here. And Lord, wherever you are, that there is liberty. Wherever you are, that there is freedom. That wherever you are, Lord God, that there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures evermore. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're about to do. I thank you for an army of courageous men. And I thank you, God, for all that you're about to do. For that we give you all the glory and all the praise. Open our hearts for what you're about to speak to us tonight. We came here hungry. Not just for meat, but we came here hungry for manna from heaven. So, Father, I pray, feed us. Somebody shout, feed me. Feed us, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shout it.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give God a great big shout of praise tonight. Amen. Before you grab a seat, I need you to give five men a high five and say, you look courageous. It took courage for some people to come into this room tonight. It took courage for some people to lift their hands tonight. It took courage for some people to sing tonight. It took courage for people to give their lives to Jesus. Somebody shout, I'm courageous. I see an army of courageous men tonight. And a big thank you to the chefs, the cooks. Can we put our hands together for all of them? Amazing. Amazing. And I want to welcome you tonight to our very first ever men's event. Courageous men. And I know that God's about to do something powerful in your life tonight. If you have a Bible, I want to dive straight in. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to come up on the screen. But tonight, I want to encourage you. There's no girls here. Well, there's one, but she's married to someone else, and so that's fine. So I want to encourage you tonight. We're not here to impress anybody. We're not here to look good for any girls because there's nobody watching you. The only girls that are here are married. We're not here for anyone else but for ourselves. So tonight, I want you to hear from God and I want you to engage with God's word tonight. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Everybody shout, dead.
Dead.
Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. I'm here to prophesy. There's some men about to cross over tonight. I said, there's some men about to cross over tonight. Cross into the Jordan River, into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend to Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, all the Hittites, all the Jebusites, all the Mozibites. You're going to cross over. I will give you every place. And to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, no one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I need every man in this room to hear tonight that God will never leave you nor forsake you. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. I will never leave you or forsake you, but be strong and courageous. Everybody shout, courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. In fact, every time that you see the word courageous, I want you to shout that out loud. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
Verse 7, be strong and very
courageous.
Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or left that you may be successful. See, there's the real key to success. The real key to success is not, having the right networks or having the right opportunities. The real keys to success is obeying God's word. You'll be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of this law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, but be strong and
courageous.
Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, when it comes to being a man, it would be very easy to be confused today about what it means to be a man. Because being a man today is different to what it was even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. See, 20 years ago, being a man was a provider. You came home and you didn't have to do anything else. You know, if your granddad told you they loved you once in your lifetime, you were a blessed man. I did. Nobody told you you were loved. But when they turned up with food, when they turned up with clothes, you knew that you were loved. And then, of course, now it's not just the fact that you have to be a provider. Now you've got to be emotional. In other words, now you've got to be able to tell your kids you love them. And not just once in their lifetime, but at least once an hour. You see, wake up in the morning, I love you. Lunchtime, I love you. Walk in the door, I love you. After dinner, I love you. Before you go to bed, I love you. It's like every moment we're saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. And so then we're kind of confused, because what does it really mean to be a man? You know, when we grew up, we heard from Lance there, you know, when you're a kid and you're a man and you fall on the ground and then a tear begins to come down your eye, your dad comes along and says, big boys don't cry. So you got to suck that tear back in your eye duct. And then, of course, now it's like we got to be emotional. And so we don't even know what a man is. They teach us from society that a real man has big biceps. Or they teach us in society that a real man has got a big bank account. They teach us that a real man is like an athlete. He's an awesome rugby league player. He's a LeBron James. They teach us in society that a real man has all of these superficial things and external things. But I've come to preach to some men tonight. A real man is not determined by the size of his biceps, but a real man is determined by the size of his courage. See, the word courage means brave. It means daring, fearless, guts, heart, fortitude, nerve, and valor. You show me a real man, you ask me what a real man is, I'll show you that's what a real man is. And I want to encourage some men tonight that this passage of scripture begins with the most courageous man, one of the most courageous men in all of the Bible. This man named Joshua. Joshua takes over the greatest leader that the nation of Israel had ever known, Moses. Moses was the man who went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And then he took the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and they're heading towards the promised land. They get to the border of where the promised land is, and then Moses dies. And then this young boy named Joshua, who's been hanging out with Moses. Moses was his pastor. Everything he'd ever known about God came from Moses, and Joshua didn't expect to take the reins. How many have ever been asked to do something that you weren't prepared for? You didn't expect. And there he is, Joshua. Joshua's got a takeover. He's the pastor of the largest church in the world. And here he is. And so God turns up for the great inauguration. I don't know if you've ever seen the American presidential inaugurations. You know, recently Joe Biden got in, and whether you love him or not, Joe Biden got in. And when he got in, you know, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. They gather all the dignitaries, and they have musicians and all of this fanfare. Well, this day was like that day. And God turns up for the inauguration of Joshua. And you know what people say at the inauguration? That's kind of important. Like those words they shape the destiny of nations. You know, we all remember JFK, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And here he is, God turns up, first speech. He's about to induct Joshua, the leader of the nation of Israel, and he says these words, Moses, my servant, is dead. He then goes on, he says, now you and all these people are going to go and fulfill the promise that I gave to Moses. And then I'm gonna give you this place, I'm gonna give you that place. And then he says, be strong and courageous. And then he goes on again, he says, be strong and courageous. A third time he says, be strong and courageous. Because even courageous men need some encouragement. And he goes on, and then it goes on, and the Bible teaches us that they later inherited the promised land. But I want to encourage you today. When it comes to being a courageous man, there are three things that I want to leave with you tonight. Three things when it comes to being a courageous man. Slap someone next to you and say, I am courageous. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you look like a courageous man. So when it comes to being a courageous man, there are three thoughts I want to share with you. Number one, if we're going to be courageous men, we must have the courage to face the past. The very first word, Moses. What was he doing? He was saying, Joshua, if you're going to press forward and fulfill the promise that I've given to you, the promise to the promised land, to the nation of Israel, the very first thing you're going to have to do is face the past. Moses, my servant, is dead. See, many of us are still living with things from our past, and God wants us to take those things from our past and bury them. Many of us live with shame. Many of us live with doubt. Many of us live with fear. Many of us live holding on to burdens and holding on to things. Many of us, instead of facing the past, we try to hide from the past. And whenever we hide from the past, we never acknowledge it, and you can't change what you don't confront. And so for all of us, we've got to come to a point where we have the courage to face the past. And that doesn't mean that we dwell on it. Doesn't mean I'm looking back to remember how bad I was. No, no, no. It means that I'm acknowledging all of the things that I need to leave behind in order to step forward into what God's got for me. In other words, the courage to let go. Somebody shout, let go. We must have the courage to let some things go. Hey, I've got to let go of my anger issues. Hey, I've got to let go of my alcoholism, my drugs. I've got to let go of all of that stuff. I've got to be able to let go of all of those things in order to step into all that God has for me. Literally, some of us recently have had to bury people. We've had to bury family and loved ones. Today, there was someone that we buried, part of our family. And we look at that and we go, man, how do we deal with it? How do we confront that? Well, the Bible tells us in Luke 9, he says, follow me. And that man replied, no, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. He says these words, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, don't worry about what's happened behind you, but follow Jesus. Somebody shout, follow Jesus. All you need to know is that if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be okay. All you need to know with all the question marks that you have is that Jesus is the answer. All you need to know that is that if you follow me, let the dead bury the dead. A few years ago, there was a preacher named Jim Baker. And Jim Baker was an evangelist. Jim Baker was accused of fraud. And he went to jail. He did some time. And then when he came out, this was in about the 90s, I think it was, Jim Baker was invited to some churches to preach. Now, Jim Baker, again, he'd done his time, and a reporter turns up to the church and says to the pastor, hey, listen, I've heard you've invited Jim Baker to come and preach. And they said, yes. And they said, how could you let, you know, a guy like him, a convicted felon, preach in church? And he said, well, I'll answer you if you promise to write what I tell you. The reporter said, okay, I will. He said, the reason that I've invited Jim Baker, an ex-convict, to come and preach in my church is because the Bible was written by a bunch of ex-convicts. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible and he killed a guilty man. Yeah. Jeremiah was an ex-convict. David, who wrote the book of Psalms, was a murderer and an adulterer. The apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, was a Christian killer and torturer and was jailed seven times. Even Jesus was locked up in jail. Many of the disciples were locked up in jail. If we can preach about what they learned and what they knew, if we can preach about these ex-convicts, then why can't Jim Baker preach in church? Let the dead bury the dead. Let's face the past so we can move forward with our future. Number two, you receive that tonight? I said you receive that tonight? So It's so funny, even during the singing, you know, the singing was so low, you know, it's all bass, and you kind of miss the high notes. And even tonight, you know, so, you know, yeah. So stay with me, boys. Even go, hoo, hoo, hoo. There you go, that's better. Number two, we must have the courage to face the present. The courage to face the present. He turns up, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then he says these words, check this out. He says, Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. He says, your territory will extend. You're going to go all over the place. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Be strong and courageous. See, having the courage to face the present means having the courage to trust God wholly. Trust God fully. Can you imagine? This is Joshua. He's a new leader. And then the Lord turns up and says, you know, all the stuff that I told Moses, you're going to do that and more. Can you imagine being Joshua? What do you mean I'm going to do more? I'm the new guy. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do because Moses is gone. And he speaks to him right in the middle of his prison. And he begins to promise him all these things. I want you to hear me tonight. God never waits until you get there to call you what you are. God never waits till you get to the destination to call you what you are. See, God turned up in this cave with this little boy named Gideon. And he said, Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. Gideon didn't look like a warrior. Gideon didn't look like a leader. He was hiding in a cave, but he called him a leader before he became a leader. And I want you to know that every person in this room is a courageous man. Every person in this room will do great things for God. Every person in this room, no one excepted. We must be willing to face the present, which means trusting God wholly. I love the fact that Samuel turns up to Jesse's house and Samuel says, Jesse, one of your kids is going to be the king. So Jesse pulls out all his sons, Eliab, the first one, and he was tall and handsome, the Bible says. And Samuel, the man of God, says, this must be the one. And then he stands in front of him, and the Lord says, that's not the one. Goes through all the sons, and it was none of the sons. And then he says to him, do you have any other sons? And he says, I've got one son, but he's tending the sheep. I've got one son, but... he's my son, but he's got issues. See, he's a good boy, but. He's a strong one, but. He's talented, but. And the Bible says, Samuel says, bring me that one. And he brings David, and he anoints him king. See, I want you to know that he anointed David king before he ever got to the palace. Samuel anointed David the king while he was still a kid. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to courageous men in this room. You may not feel like a courageous man. You may not even look like a courageous man, but I'm prophesying tonight. You are a courageous man. And in every kid, there's a king. And God called him out to be a king. See, facing the present means you have to be willing to let go of all control. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that our biggest problem? As men, we're all control freaks. Now, I want to control how I look. I want to control my reputation. I want to control how I appear. I want to control my money. I want to control my whatever. But we must have the courage to face the present, which means having the courage to trust God wholly. God, if you said it, I believe it. God, if you said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Even if I can't see it in front of my eyes, it is going to. I remember one day, I'd just gotten saved, actually, and I was sitting in a church, and there was a guest preacher came in. He came in and preached, and at the end of the service, he said, put your hands up. I want to pray for those who feel called to the ministry. You feel like God's calling you to be a pastor. And I have to say that from the moment I gave my life to Jesus, I knew that God was calling me to pastor, but I didn't feel like I was worthy. So he said, put your hand up. And a few hands went up, and there was no way I was putting my hand up. He says, put your hand up. No way am I putting my hand up. few others put their hand up. He prays for them. That was amazing. After the service, the pastor asked me to drive him back to the hotel. So I jump in the car. I drive him back to the hotel. As I'm driving back to the hotel, he begins to tell me the story. He says, you know, many years ago when I first became a Christian, I was sitting in a room, in a Bible college room, and the Bible college teacher said, and he said, every hand in the room went up except for his. And he began to pray for all of them and pray for all of them and pray that God was going to use them. And then after that, he went up to that teacher and he said, oh, you know, like, I didn't put my hand up. He said, yeah, I find the ones that don't put their hands up often are the ones that have the call. I want you to know that over the next probably year, as each guest pastor would come, they'd say at the end of the service, does anyone feel called to pastor? I remember this young boy at the back there, that was me, putting my hand up. I think it's me. I'm not sure, but I think it's me. But God, if it's me, then Lord, would you use me? And he said, God's calling you to be a pastor. I got excited. I went home. I put it on the shelf. I thought, no, it can't be me. A month later, another pastor comes along. In fact, this time he didn't ask for hands. He began to point me out. He said, you young man, God's got a call on your life. God's going to call you to pastor. I said, thank you very much. I put it on the shelf, but that's not for me. I want you to know that four different men prophesied the same word over me in that first year. And it wasn't until the fourth one that I finally came to believe it. Come help me quickly. You two young men, come over here. Give it up for these good-looking young men. One over here, one over there. Good. Good job. I think I chose the right young men. See, facing the present means when God speaks, we acknowledge what he says in order to go towards our destiny. Do you know how many people who God speaks, but we don't face it, and therefore we never receive it? And I want to encourage you today that whatever God is speaking to you, you face it, you receive it, and then you will step into all that God has for you in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on, give these boys a big hand. Come on. And number three, the third thing, when it comes to being a courageous man, we must face the future. We must face the future. In other words, we must be willing to be different. We must be willing to let go of control. We must be willing to stand up, even if it means standing up alone. I remember when I first became a Christian, they said, oh, you know, you're going off on that Christian buzz. That's okay. We'll see you in a month or so. You know, yeah, cool, Barry. Yo, you don't want to come out and hang out with us. You don't want to come into, you know, you don't want to come do that. Okay, cool. Don't worry, bro. You go do your thing. We'll see you soon. And then you come around again. Are you still on that Christian thing? Okay, then cool. And then what happens is when they realize you're serious, they go from being your friend to starting to mock you. Oh, here he comes, Mr. Churchy. And I used to go to a Pentecostal church, and back in those days, they used to call it Happy Clappy Church. Here comes Mr. Happy Clappy. One moment, we're buddies. Next moment, oh, here he is, Mr. Happy Clappy. See, facing the future means you're going to have to make some decisions to be courageous. It takes courage to be different. It takes courage to be successful. It takes courage to stand out. Hey, you don't have to stand out, because there are a lot of people who are miserable, and misery has a lot of company. It's not hard to be mediocre, but if you want to be what God's called you to be, you've got to be different. Somebody shout, different. I've got to be different. I've got to be willing to let go, and let go of control. And here's where it is. Here's where the rubber hits the road. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. Here's why you need to be different, because it's not about you. It's about all of those who are coming after you. Here's why you need to be different, Lance, because it's not just about Lance and Marquette. It's about Georgia and Marquise and George and Marquise's kids. It's not just about today. It's about all of those who are coming after. And yeah, sure, maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home. That's okay, because God can still turn it around. But we must be courageous enough to face the future. In other words, okay, God, I don't know what it looks like. You want me to go to Bible college? Okay, then, I have no idea what's on the other side of that, but I'll do it. God, okay, what, you want me to tithe? when quiet in the room. You want me to part with my hard-earned money? But then if I give you my hard-earned money, I'm going to have 10% less. No, my friend, you're going to have Lord over your household. You want me to step into these things? And there are some things, people in this room, that God has been speaking to you about for years. Friend, make a decision tonight. I'm not going around that mountain anymore. Make a decision to face the future. Turn the person next to you and say, I'm glad you came tonight. He's talking to you. Hey, I want to encourage you. It takes courage to fulfill the dream of God. But if you do it, young people, I've been talking to some of the dads, but young people tonight, you might be the first Christian in your family. In fact, I know some of you here who are. You might be the first one. Maybe you came from a lineage of different things. Well, today you could start a blessing. You may not have had any. We reviewed it. We've been to the investigators. Your insurance has been declined. And my immediate thought was that I wanted to collapse. My immediate thought was, and then blame God. God, why did you bring us here? We left everything for you, God. Why did you bring us here and this happened? And then, in a moment, and I can only describe it as a moment, as a moment in God. I looked at my wife. There are people out there waiting for us. I'm about to preach this very text. And I looked at my wife. I hung up the phone. I said, we are not going to allow the devil to rob us of another minute. We walked out of that apartment. We walked into that room, preached the message. And over that weekend, we baptized 7 people. We launched Forward Church. And now, here we are, 7 years on, at our very first men's event. There's way more people in this room than there were in the entire church 7 years ago. And I want to encourage you. I couldn't see then what we see now. I couldn't see then, between you and I in this apartment, what God was about to do. I couldn't see then that, you know, we've got all these teenagers gathered together. Last Friday in Sydney, our very first youth meeting, 22 youth hanging out in Sydney. I couldn't see that years down the track, but we'd have multiple locations. I couldn't see years down the track that there'd be guys like James Teame and Lance and all the other men in this room. I couldn't see that. But I had to take courage in the future. And if you take courage in the future, that if God's spoken it to you, then it shall come to pass. Then God will get all the glory. Would you stand to your feet right now in this place? Timo, come and join me. Worship team, come and join me. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to speak in tongues if you speak in the heavenly language. Shaka da ba 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 ba. Shaka da ba ba. Shaka da ba ba. Yeah, come on, you begin to lift your voice. Shaka da ba. Courageous men pray. Courageous men worship. Courageous men lift their hands to God. Courageous men, we worship you, God. Courageous men. Yeah. Lord, I thank you that you wipe away every shame. Lord God, you wipe away every. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. God wipes it away. In his eyes, you are clean. So come on, courageous men. I want every person to lift their hands to heaven right now. It's an act of surrender. You're not lifting your hands to me. You're lifting your hands to the King. He loves to see you lift your hands. Lifting holy hands like we heard before. Touching every person, touching every life. Father, we thank you, God, for what you're about to do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Andre, the Lord's calling you. He's calling you, Andre. You are a man of God. You are the man of God. God's calling you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jordan, the hand of the Lord has always been upon you. The enemies try to take you out. The enemies try to possess your mind, but the devil is a liar. And I call out the man of God right now in the name of Jesus. You are a strong man. You are a valiant man. You are a man of faith. You are a man of power. You are the leader over your household, the spiritual leader over your home. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you're about to do. Every dad, lift both hands in the air. Every dad, dads, every dad, lift your hands in the air. You are the spiritual priest of your home. Spiritual priest. And being a spiritual man is not determined by how long you pray. But being a spiritual man is determined by how diligently you pray. The Bible says that he hears those who seek him diligently. Seek him diligently. You don't have to pray for 5 hours, but pray constantly, all the time. Every moment you got, every minute you got. Every time you remember, in between things, you pray. You pray and ask God to bless your family, bless your household, bless your finances in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for spiritual priests to rise up right now in the name of Jesus. I declare the open heaven over every household. In Jesus' mighty name, to touch every dad, every spouse, every child in the name of Jesus. Father, touch them, fill them in the name of Jesus. Every young person, every person who doesn't have children, lift your hands to heaven. No kids, lift your hands to heaven. Father, I declare that, Lord God, that you would sharpen the arrow. That, Lord God, you would cause them to make right choices. That, Lord God, you would cause them to get into the company of right people. That, Father, you would use them. That, Lord God, that they would be the beginning of what you want to do in a generation to come. Father, I pray tonight that as a company of men, that, Lord God, we would face the past and that we would bury the dead and let things go. That, Lord God, we would face the present. Lord, whatever you say, we do it. Lord God, wherever you lead, we go. We will follow you and let the dead bury the dead. And Father, I declare tonight that we will face the future. That, Lord God, we will go, not because of us, but because of who is coming after us. Not because of what you're about to do in us, we're thankful for that. But more than that, we see what you're about to do in those generations who are coming after us. And Father, we thank you for that. I declare your blessing over every man in this house. I declare that in the precious and in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, come on, I want every courageous man to thank God. Come on, I want you to thank God in advance for what he's about to do in your life. Come on, give God a shout of praise like the victory's been won, like the battle's already been won. We're not thanking God for what might be. We're thanking God for what will be in the name of Jesus. And everybody shout it. Amen, amen, and amen. You've been so amazing.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit forwardchurch.com.